Now, if you'll turn, please, to the chapter of the Scriptures that we read, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to speak on some verses that we find here in this chapter. This is the last book of the Scriptures written by the Apostle Paul. He wrote this from a prison cell in Rome. He knew that it was only a short time before he would be executed. And in this, his last letter, he is writing to Timothy with the instructions for how Timothy is to go about the work that God has called Timothy to. So these are the words of a dying man. And the things that a man writes when he knows he doesn't have long left, those words are particularly telling. And the verses I want to look at tonight are verses where Paul is recording a saying that he didn't come up with. It was a saying that was there before he penned these words. And he tells us that it is a faithful saying. In Paul's letters to Timothy and Titus, there are five places where Paul says this is a faithful saying. This is the last of them in chronological order. These words, in verses 11 through to 13, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. These words contain both encouragement and warning. And it's a saying that quite obviously comes in four different parts. And I want to consider the four different parts of this saying that the apostle tells us is a faithful saying. Here's something we can be absolutely sure to be true. First of all, then, the first of the four parts in the saying, verse 11, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. The him being the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible has a remarkable way of talking about life. It teaches us that it's only through dying that we can really live. Matthew 16, verse 25, Jesus tells us that whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Christ will find true life. And to those who are believers in Christ, those who are followers of Christ, these words stand as faithful words, that if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If you are a Christian tonight, then there was a time in your life when you died with Christ. There was a time in your life where the old you ceased to exist. That person that you'd been up until that point came to an end, and there was a new you that was born. Paul calls it elsewhere a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Christians are those who have died with Christ. When we die with Christ, we are no longer under the bondage and tyranny of sin. We have a new master. Jesus Christ is our new master, and he is a good master. He is a pleasure to work for. He is a delight to serve. And although we don't always serve him as we should, it is in our nature to do so. And when we know that the Lord wants me to do this, but I've done that, well, we feel it. We know this is not right. Paul is saying here in verse 11, and quoting this saying, that since our lives are so closely tied up with the life of Jesus Christ, it's not only the case that we died with him, but it's also the case that we will live with him. The moment your old self dies, a new self is born. And ever since that new birth, we live with Christ. This saying does not, when it says we shall also live with him, it's not exclusively referring to heaven. But from the moment we begin to follow Christ, we live with him. Of course, we will live with him in an even more wonderful way in the life to come. But we can live with him here and now. If we have died with Christ and become new creatures in Christ, well, then we go on to live with Christ for the rest of our days on earth and forever in the new heaven and the new earth. So Paul encourages us to believe that this is true. Once we were dead, but now we are alive. And we are alive because we are united with Jesus Christ. And this is a life that we will never lose. No one can take it away from us. Where Christ goes, we will go also. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. Your life as a Christian is meant to be a life lived with Christ. The second part of the saying, then, it says, verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we stand up for Christ, if we're loyal to Jesus Christ, if we're willing to take the consequences of that, all the abuse that may come our way because of following Christ, it may mean a loss of credibility. There will be people who will think much less of us. They will see us as being naive, those who are gullible and who are willing to believe all this nonsense from an old musty book. But if we're willing to lose face for Christ, if we're willing to endure, then we are to take heart, because Paul says those who endure are those who will also reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians enjoy great spiritual blessings, but when we follow Jesus Christ, the road can sometimes be very rough. And when it is, we're to remember it's not always going to be like this. Now is the time to endure. This life is the time when, as a Christian, you have to endure whatever comes your way. The word means, it means to remain under. There will always be things on getting on top of you. But now is the time to endure. But we are assured that that time will not last. There is a time to come when we will reign with Christ. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples in Luke 22 from verse 28. He says to them there, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The disciples of Christ were often judged by others. Others assessed their value, and they were thought to be worthless men following a worthless leader. But Jesus says, you will reign with me. You will sit on thrones. You will be those who will be judges of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so for Christians, the encouragement is there that we should believe that will not always be laughed at by those who think they are wiser than God. We will not always be discriminated against, and God's name will not always be taken in vain and used in a joking way and used as a swear word. The day will come when the mocking tongues will be silenced. The day will come when the knees will all be bowed. Jesus Christ will be revealed upon the throne. He will be seen as the one who really does reign. And those who have followed him will reign with him. If we endure, if we keep going, if we put up with it all, we shall also reign with him. The enduring is for a while, the reigning is forever. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. So those words are words of encouragement, that those who have died with Christ will also live with him. Those who endure will also reign with him. The third part of the faithful saying is clearly a warning. Next it says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. There is no way that anyone can take an encouraging interpretation out of those words. This is clearly a warning about a danger that is there. There is the danger of denying Christ. And Paul says that this is a faithful saying. And we need to think and consider this. In the past, we died with Christ. That's good. In the present, we're to endure for his sake. But Paul warns us, be careful that in the future, you don't deny Christ or disown Christ, because he says, he also will deny us. On the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus will have people to whom he will say, I never knew you. It seems clear that behind the words of this faithful saying lie the words of the Lord Jesus, words recorded in both the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. In Matthew, it's chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me or disowns me before men, I will deny him, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. To deny Christ or to disown Christ is the opposite of acknowledging Christ. It's the opposite of confessing Christ. Now, who do we automatically think of in the Scriptures when we think about someone denying Christ? Well, we can't help but think of Peter, the Apostle Peter. Three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a good thing to think about Peter, because thinking about Peter helps us to get a proper understanding of this part of the faithful saying. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Well, Peter denied him. Peter denied Christ three times. He denied him. He swore that he never knew the man. He disowned him utterly. Now, is the Lord Jesus Christ going to deny Peter? Does Jesus today disown Peter? Does he say he's not one of mine? No. Our Lord will not deny Peter. Peter is in heaven. And when we see Peter, if we see Peter, he'll be close to the throne. Peter was a man who did deny Christ, but he wept bitter tears of genuine repentance, and he was forgiven. And for anyone who denies Christ but repents of their sin, there is forgiveness. And you may have denied Christ. You may have disowned Christ. There may have been times in your life where the easy way was to pretend that you weren't a Christian. And you took the easy way. And you were silent when you should have spoken. Or you said things that you didn't really believe at all. And you denied Christ. But if you've repented of that sin, well, the Lord has forgiven you. And the Lord Jesus Christ will not deny you before his Father in heaven. So this verse doesn't apply to someone like Peter, who temporarily denied Christ, temporarily disowned Christ. But there is a type of person that these words do refer to. And these words refer to those for whom it is their normal pattern of life to deny Christ. Rather than to deny themselves, they will always deny Christ. And we know that that's the way it is. There are many people, and Christ has no place in their life. He's not going to tell them what to do. He's not going to be the one that they will worship at every available opportunity. They deny Christ. He's not allowed to be their God and their master and their savior. They'll do things their way, not his way. Christ is denied, and that is the regular, settled pattern of their lives. They're predictable. They're predictable in their denial of Jesus Christ. Those who deny him, he also will deny. And so there's a warning here to be careful. If ever we find ourselves taking that easy way out, being Christ deniers, well, don't let the sun go down upon your sin. Because if we get into that habit of being Christ deniers, in the end, he also will deny us. And Jesus himself taught that that was the case. So, strong words of warning. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And then we come to the fourth part of the saying. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. This would be one of my favorite verses of Scripture. If you asked me what's my favorite verse of Scripture, this would be right up there among them. But what does it mean? What does this verse of Scripture mean? Not everyone is agreed as to what this verse of Scripture means. There are many well-respected, reputable Bible teachers who would explain this verse as follows, that within this faithful saying, there are two parts, there are two halves. In the first half of the saying, it is all good news, and in the second half, it's all bad news. The first two lines are good news, the third and the fourth are bad news. And what they would say this means is that if we are faithless or unbelieving, the same word that means unbelieving is a word that means faithless. If we are faithless or unbelieving, well then God will have to deal with us according to what he sees. He will have to be true to himself, and where he sees faithlessness, that is a sin that God will have to punish. And that is the way that some would understand this. And you can see how that makes sense. You can see how that retains a nice symmetry where you have two parts of the saying that are really good news and two parts that are a real strong warning. Whatever you do, don't deny Christ. Whatever you do, don't be faithless. If you deny Christ, he will deny you. If you're faithless, he'll remain faithful, and he'll have to deal with you out of his faithfulness to his own justice, for example. God couldn't do anything other than that, the argument is put. I don't believe that that is what this verse of Scripture means. I believe that there is a precious, encouraging truth that is expressed here in this fourth part of this saying. And what I believe this refers to is not unbelief. Unbelief that's spoken of. It could be translated that way if we are unbelieving. But I think the word faithless is the right word because it's been contrasted with the faithfulness of God. If we are the opposite of what God is, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. What kind of faithlessness is this? Well, I believe this is the day-to-day ordinary sort of unfaithfulness that all Christians are guilty of. Everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ is guilty of faithlessness. We let him down every day. There are ways in which we let Christ down that we haven't really realized that we are being faithless in what we have done. And I believe that this verse refers to the realities of our Christian experience. We trust in Christ. We're following Christ. He is our only hope of salvation. And yet we're still sinners. We are still guilty of faithlessness. But while we are faithless, God remains faithful. And I think if you look carefully at the way this saying is worded, that there is a clue that indicates that the fourth part of the saying is meant to have a surprise with it. The first three things that we're told, there is an if. If we do this, then we will also experience that. If we died, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, what isn't there in the fourth one? What's the word that isn't there? Also, there is no also. And there's meant to be no also. If there was an also, it would change the whole meaning of the thing. But there is no also. And the fourth part of the saying is meant to have a different pattern from the first three parts. What you would expect to find here is, if we are faithless, he also will be faithless. If we have no faith in him, he also will have no faith in us. But that's not what it says. What it says is, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. It's the exact opposite of what you would expect in the light of what has come beforehand. So in other words, to convey that the meaning of this verse, what it means is, even though we are faithless, he will remain faithful. for he cannot deny himself. What does it mean for the Lord to deny himself? Well, what Paul is talking about here is what comes immediately before this faithful saying in verse 10. He is writing about the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Those who are saved, those who become Christians, throughout the New Testament are described as being those who are in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's a terminology that the Apostle Paul uses all the time. A Christian is someone who is in Christ. And Paul would want us to remember that when we become Christians, we become those who are united with Jesus Christ. Here we are, and here is Christ, and the two become one. The two become one, and the two continue to be one forever. Christ is the bridegroom, we are his bride, and we are married. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. Jesus Christ remains faithful to us. He cannot disown us because he cannot disown or deny himself. There is a bond that exists between Christ and his saved people which can never be broken. We are those who are in Christ, and we are always in Christ. Our life is tied up with his life. We are inseparable. We died with him. We will be raised with him. We are a part of his church. We are his bride. We are his body. And he cannot deny himself. And we are a part of him, his self. And yet, despite the great blessings and privileges that we enjoy as Christians, we are often faithless. We do let Christ down. We do the things that we know we shouldn't do. We often leave undone the things we know we should do. Sometimes in life we make our decisions. We've not really consulted the Lord. He's not been our head. We've done our own thing. Some days, maybe in life, we never really talk much to the Lord at all. We are faithless. But even then, even in our worst days, our most faithless days, Jesus Christ remains faithful. He does not abandon us. He does not give up on us. He cannot, because we are united with him. We are so close to him that we are a part of him. He is the head, we are the body. And heads and bodies have to stay together. Jesus Christ will be faithful. He remains faithful. He will be faithful, not because we are always faithful, but because this is the way he is. He is the Lord who has bought our salvation at a great, great price. And he will be faithful. And you will go from this place tonight, and I will go from this place tonight, and it won't be long before we are guilty of faithlessness in some way or other. But Jesus Christ will remain faithful. Day in, day out, as long as we are here in this world, he will remain faithful. Are you troubled by your sin? Do you feel that you're a failure as a Christian? Do you feel as if your lack of faithfulness is bound to condemn you? Well, in a sense, that's how we should feel. because our sins do matter. But we need to remember also that it is not our faithfulness that saves us. It is Christ that saves us. And we are not faithful, but he remains faithful. And if you are united with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are safe. He will remain faithful. He will not disown you. He will not deny you. For to disown you would be to disown his very self. If we are faithless, and we are, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Christ sees you, if you're a Christian, as being a part of himself, and he cannot deny himself. So let us take heart from these things. We heed the warning that we must not deny him, but we can rejoice in these truths that if we have died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. And however good or however bad our performance as a Christian is, however faithless we may be and let him down, he's the one who remains faithful. And he will not and he cannot deny himself. Paul took heart from those things. He was an apostle. He was a sinner. He knew he had sinned. He knew he had let Christ down. But his trust was in his Savior, in the faithfulness of his Savior. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Amen.